Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
All right, welcome back to the Survival of Basic Badass podcast with your hosts Kevin and Chuck. Today we're going to talk about survival kitchens, smokehouses, outside cooking, and overall, you know, getting your food together. So,
right.
Kevin, what do you got?
Well, it's a basic survival necessity. You gotta eat.
And sometimes, you know, I like to eat. I don't know. Yeah. You know, eventually we'll have some pictures up there, and you'll tell. I like to eat.
Right. And you know, we don't always have electricity to get us cooking. Sometimes we have to survive with outdoor skills.
Right.
So, you know, I do a lot of outdoor cooking.
Okay.
And even just, you know, think about the power being out. You know, you've got a grill. You should have a grill. You should know how to operate your propane grill. You should know how to operate a charcoal grill.
Yeah.
Those are two, right off the bat, basic ideas. And most people have a grill. Just, you want to make sure. I like to have two cans of propane.
Yeah.
You know, one that's always full and one that's on the grill. That way, when I run out, I can just switch them out instead of having to stop.
I like to do that, although I have to admit, I have one that's nearing empty, and the other two are also empty, because, you know, we're all lazy and don't get around to it.
Mm-hmm.
I try and do the exact same thing, where I have one backup and one whatever, and then actually somebody gave me one the other day. They were moving and whatever. They dropped off another tank, so, you know, but yeah, having the extra propane, that buys you time to transition into whatever, you know, if the need arises. Or if the week power outage comes, you're good for the week and you don't have to think twice. And also, it's awkward when you're having the barbecue and you got your friends
and
over.
And everyone's over and you have a bunch of half-cooked meat.
You have the half-cooked meat, you know. So that's kind of, you know, an issue.
You know, what a good idea is that somebody brought up to me. I didn't think about it. But keep your eyes open around garage sales, yard sales, because a lot of people have the old, crappy, rusted up propane tanks.
Yeah, you swap them out.
Just take them in.
I know. I've even brought ones that are out of date. I didn't even realize they have date codes on the tank.
And
makes sense because they start rusting out, whatever. And yeah, they take them and no problem because the kid who's working the thing at Lowe's or whatever,
zero craps.
So,
Try and keep my hand pretty good with the charcoal grill.
Okay.
Just because, because it's some people like the taste better, but it's a lot more difficult to cook with.
Okay. I cook a lot of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I cook a lot outside with the grill.
Right.
I mean, I would say, honestly, you know, at least 60% of our dinners I cook on the grill all year long, winter, summer. And what happens is, say every third time is some kind of chicken, you get all that chicken fat and every, you know, nonsense in there. It catches on fire and burns my burgers and everything the next time. You know, I'm cooking. Everything seems great. I go in the house for a minute. I come out
and
it's
flames.
Freaking 1,400 degrees and there's flames and the siding's melting off the house. It's just not good. So what I did to correct this is I have one of these. It's weird. I bought this cheap grill. I used to have a nice fancy one. I bought this cheap grill that has a tray that you can put charcoal in it, or if you pull out the tray, it has the propane burners.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it actually works is you can put in the tray, load up the charcoal, light it up, and it heats up the charcoal with the propane, and then you're good to go, like, almost right away, and it's awesome. So I do that. But anyway, the point is, I don't have the grease fires anymore, because the charcoal, it completely eliminates that, and it's way better to get, like, an even consistent temperature.
Right.
And I'm liking that. You know, I know King of the Hill, you're supposed to not taste the charcoal, but consistent even temperature is nice.
Right.
But anyway, right. as you were.
Yeah. No, when I was a young man, I remember I lived next door to a pretty interesting character. He's an in and out of prison type convict. And he had all sorts of stories about cooking in prison with irons and all sorts of ridiculous stuff. But he was the self-proclaimed grill master.
Grill master?
Self-proclaimed, anyway.
All right.
But I remember we did have a massive hurricane, power outages, no gas, no refrigerators. And during the hurricane, during the high winds and everything, he took the grill out, chained it up to a couple of posts in the parking lot, and sure as hell had some decent burgers.
Nice.
And we were probably the only one that had a hot meal that night. The only ones there.
I like it.
But, you know, getting used to cooking outside is a good prepper mindset, you know. Have you ever heard of a solar oven?
Solar oven. I have seen them off. I've never tried one. Yeah. I've seen some.
Well, I've seen some basic ones. They're a little sketchy, you know.
All right.
But you can make one just out of a pizza box.
All right. Tell
if you
me
took
more.
A pizza box, you say you cut the lid, cut a square out of the lid, tilt it up, wrap it in foil, and then you're gonna paint the bottom of the box black.
All right. Absorb the sun. Yep. Kind of thing.
Roll up newspaper and tape it around the inside, and put some cellophane, some plastic wrap across the top.
All right.
Temperature's only in that one. It's only going to get up to about 200 degrees. But you're making it with stuff that you've got, you know, you've
handy. Yeah.
Right there in your house. You know, you could get really fancy, though, with big, you know, tin things to direct the sunlight
really
towards
focus,
it.
And you know, panels to focus some light.
All and right. You can get all sorts of fancy. You know, you can make one with like an MIT tech and really get it going. But,
all right.
You know, it's something to keep in mind. Maybe look it up and have an idea how to make one before you need to.
All right. Now, on these camping trips and stuff you've done, have you ever had anybody bring out one of these, the pre-made solar ones?
No.
The ones they buy?
No, I know a lot of people that have made them just as class projects and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I've never used one that I bought or never invested serious money into making a serious one. But if you need to melt some cheese on some nachos, that 200 degrees ain't too bad.
All right. I like melted cheese on my nachos, so, you know, that works. All right. You were telling me about other, like, campfire cooking. What you got there?
When I was a young man, I spent some time in South America. Beef, Argentina, their chief export is beef.
Okay.
You know, they grow beef and they're proud of it, and that's all they do. And so what they, you know, every night is a cookout night.
I like cookouts.
And remember one of the guys I was working with there didn't speak English very well, and I didn't speak Spanish very well. But he dug out a big pit, filled it with, you know, little bonfire, got some coals going, and then set up racks and racks of grills on top of it. And he just sat out there, great big rotund man, just laying on the ground, turning stuff over. And one of the big chunks of chicken fell in the dirt. And he looked around and looked at me, said, shh, and threw it back on the grill. But a little dirt never hurt anybody.
Nope.
Went with a couple of people and one of the local women there up to spend some time up in the jungle with some of the natives of that area, and they're all starving to death. Apparently, when the white people showed up, they had their witch doctors curse the land so nothing could grow there.
That's smart.
So the white people stayed away, but now they're all starving to death. But you know, she. The woman that came up with us, she was an old pro with this, man. Got the coals going.
All right.
Laid out three logs in a triangle pattern and just got a big pot. Threw it right on top. Filled it up with some water and whatever else she was throwing in there, like a stone soup kind of thing, whatever she had handy.
Nice.
And, man, the kids from that village just all, like, gathered around. As soon as they smelt that food, they just all gathered around and started sitting down waiting.
Nice.
But I was pretty impressed with how easily she threw together that, and, you know, it was an excellent meal, you know, excellent stew. And she just threw it together like nothing, you know, she was so used to it.
Right.
You know, cooking outside is definitely a skill that you need to learn before you can be good at it.
Right. And that's, I think, what, you know, partly we wanted to talk about is, you know, you just want to be able where you can get used to it, get in the habit, because, man, if you need to just buy one little thing or whatever, it's nice to do it when the stores are open and you can plan ahead.
Right.
Now, I see, like, they have for the fire pits, I go to, you know, the camping stores, whatever, Camp Morgan or whatever, and they have those metal grills. Like, you'll have a pole and you have three or four metal grills you can slide over the fire to get different heights.
Mm-hmm.
They're awesome. And maybe if I step up my blacksmithing abilities, I can work something out. But they want a fortune for those. You know, I guess anything with wrought iron, whatever, they when it weighs a lot, it's a pain in the butt. But bottom line, they're all like $150, $200.
Yeah, I found one... not to cut you off, but I found one at Walmart. Was aluminum poles, hollow poles, a tripod that had a chain down from the middle,
right?
That held the grill up, and you could raise the grill up.
Now,
and down.
It was a grill, and they came with that.
Yeah,
whatever.
The tripod and the grill, and it was only about $10 or $12.
Now, $10 or $12 is a little more of my budget.
Yeah, and it only weighed about a pound and a half. It's a little bit big because of the grill.
And it works for the camping trip, you know?
It's a little awkward to carry, but it's, you know, when you're going to be doing a lot of cooking in one place, you know, if you're camping out for a week in one spot, great thing to have.
Okay.
Very handy.
I like that. A lot of the different stuff. Now, I built some stuff in my yard, and there's other stuff that I plan to build in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a guy set up where went to Lowe's, bought a bunch of rocks to make, if you picture in your head, like a, like you have the wishing well, and you have the little stone, you know, circle. And he basically set it up where it had small spaces in between the rocks and they were staggered. So you have air coming in from either side. Did that, threw some, the fire rock bricks on the bottom. Then he set a triangle. He basically took some angle iron and bent it, set up a triangle on the bottom, put a like $10 grill cover from Lowe's, threw it on there, was throwing charcoal on it, and then at the top of the well threw another big, you know, cooking
bigger grill grate, set on top.
And charcoal oven, instant, easy. It's awesome. And it looks cool. You have the nice... And honestly, you could do it with wood when you run out. It's going to work. It's not going to be as nice as charcoal.
Right.
Charcoal's pretty sweet, I got to say. But how cool are you just whipping it together? It looks nice. It's a conversation piece. It's fun. And, I mean, just stuff like that is simple.
Right.
Now,
right. And it's cost-free.
Cost-free.
Once you have it together, you know, you just get the charcoal or just get the wood and you know, the real trick with cooking over a fire is getting down to the coals.
Right.
You want a nice hot bed. And you can work that just like you can work a charcoal grill.
Right.
You know, you just got to give it time, let it actually burn, heat up, and then, and you know, so it'll retain that heat for a while.
Yeah, no, it really, I mean, just simple things like that. But if you plan and you do it, when you can go buy a bunch of rocks and whatever,
right,
then you're ready to go when problems strike. Now, I've had this vision for a while back. I bought a book on like gutting deers and your own meat, and figured I could step up my game a little bit and do things a little better. Maybe there's an easier way, and I found some pretty cool stuff and I like it. But they talked about smokehouses and smoking your meat and how cool it is. Now, from what I read, it says, you know, you may love smoked meat, but it's really not the healthiest thing long term.
Yeah,
but if you kill a deer and you don't have a refrigerator, smoking your meat is kind of the good thing, unless you're really stuffing your face, you know?
And it's better to die of cancer when you're 80 than starve to death when you're 25.
It. You know, so, I mean, you know, it's maybe not the ideal. It should be more like a treat or something than the norm. But again, if that's what you got and that's the only way you're getting meat, then you do what you got
to
do.
Right. And if you don't know how to do it, when it starts, exactly. Then you're already behind the curve.
And that's it. You know, this is information. You know, people are curious. They don't know. And something you want to kind of plan out. So I was looking at different things. And they had some samples of how to do it. And the setup is they made a firebox, you know, just a like a brick. If you imagine like a brick oven kind of thing with just the hole, you know, to light the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Then out the back, they ran 4-inch like dryer pipe, you know, vent pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And they angled it up like up a hill. And what they did is they built, if you imagine like an outhouse type building
mm-hmm.
out of wood. They ran the smoke so it comes up in the floor of that, you know, kind of like you picture a smokehouse in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sell old oven grates, or I saw it, the guys, what they want to do is they want to hang the meat, hang the fish, hang whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they had hooks. And what they did in this case was took a bunch of grills, hung hooks on it, and were hanging the meat off of that. And basically the dryer pipe just came up, and so they'd run a fire in mm-hmm. the one. And they put a thermometer in the side, and they put a air vent in the smokehouse to be able mm-hmm. to regulate the temperature and keep tabs on it. And that was it, really simple. So in my mind, I got going, and I was like, I can expand on this. I can make it cool, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, well, what if, you know, I put just a big grill over the firebox kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
So now I can be grilling over wood. I'm killing it. And then what I'm thinking is a big metal plate that I could take the grill off, put the metal plate on if I want to direct the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also, because how cool are you when you're eating and cooking some of the meat and you're smoking the other half at the same right. time? Everybody's happy.
Uh-huh.
It's a win. Now, the only part that I haven't worked out is once I started going with this and I'm like, if I'm going to build this big, you know, huge rock monstrosity in my yard and it's going to be awesome, you know, I want mm-hmm. it to be like the focal point of the fun. And so what I'm thinking is I want to have it so that the has like an oven as mm-hmm. well. And I've seen it like a wood oven kind yeah. of thing. You know, you have the wood-fired pizza and the, like mm-hmm. that. And I want to be able to kind of set that on top and have another thing and, you know, just multifaceted. I haven't quite worked that out. I've been looking at pictures online and trying to find different things. But definitely your standard smoker is very simple. You know, mm-hmm. just building that firebox, running the pipe. But how cool is it when you can go buy the brick and the different things and get everything right. easy instead of trying to dig up rocks and, uh-huh. you know, work it out or, you know, finding the pipe right. and whatever. It's nothing when you can go buy it,
uh-huh.
you know. And I just, planning ahead like that, it's something that you can use and have fun with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, how cool are you, you know, having your big barbecues, whatever, and how cool are you having smoked meat? Right. And then when things turn maybe a little south, one, you're already used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You've mastered the art of cooking outside. You have, you know, all the stuff set up and you, you know, have gotten all the little things you need to keep it going nice and working out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm just kind of excited. And that's the big plan for the spring.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll have some pictures of designs linked in the show notes, and you can also check it out under articles in preppingbadass.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there'll be one on do your own smokehouse. So, you know, I put up some of the plans that I've been looking at, and hopefully if I have more information, I'll be able to update that and mm-hmm. keep it going.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who is a co-worker with one of my brothers. And he's a veteran of the Serbian national artilleryman.
Serbians.
And he's just an interesting character. I ate over lunch at his house, and it was plum liquor that he made himself,
okay.
that he distilled himself, cheese that he made himself, bread that he baked himself, and meats that he smoked himself.
Yeah.
And he was pretty much an all-around living-off-the-land type of character, and I just got hooked up with some old lady who was a super rich artist, and he just lived a nice life, but he had the time to actually do these things.
Right.
You know, when you have a job, when you have to go in every day, you can't necessarily invest as much time in, as you'd like to.
Right.
In perfecting these arts, so it's something to keep in mind. Do on the weekends. Do in the evenings. Even if you cook one meal on the grill once a week, you're a step ahead. You know.
Right.
If you can if you can figure out how to make the vegetables and season the meats and grill the meats, there's something to be said about that. Now, one thing I wanted to talk about before we wrapped it up is on the Shit Hits the Fan days.
Yes.
You might be the one that's cooking outside when everybody else doesn't have food.
Right.
So you might want to kind of think about that. Keep that in mind. Not necessarily share with all your neighbors the fact that you've stored up, you know, your foods, and when they smell the food cooking,
right,
you might want to be in somewhat of a secured place. You know, putting up a fence around your backyard might at least keep them from knowing right away where that food smell is coming from.
But I don't know. When people are hungry, I think they're going to find the food.
They're going to find it. It depends on how hungry they are, and it depends on how willing you are to share your food with your friends and neighbors.
Yeah, I know we've talked about it in the past about, you know, you're in the home security episode and different mm-hmm. things and like that. But maybe they should know that I'm the neighbor who's not afraid to shoot somebody who comes into my lawn, you know? Yeah.
Sometimes I beat my neighbor's dogs just so they know that I'm not somebody to mess around with.
That's it.
That's never actually happened.
You show them? No.
I would not beat my neighbor's dog, but... Yeah. With a 2x4.
Now, your neighbor, that might be something. Yeah. But
no, it might be him with a 2x4. I did have an issue with my neighbor's dog. Got a big German Shepherd.
All right.
And I bit one of my kids one time. And I've never actually punched a dog in the face until that day.
Oh, well, until that day.
I did punch the dog in the face. And it corrected its attitude pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, all right. No, I'm a little worried. How come when the dog bites you... That's not a big horrible thing for, oh, that dog, oh my God, horrible offense. But when you punch the dog in the face, then that's...
You know what I mean? I bit one of my neighbor's kids one day and it was a big issue, you know?
You know?
Their dog bit my kid and that's just normal. That's okay. That's just something dogs do.
Yeah, sadly the standards of society seem to keep evolving and it's all, you know, relative and perspective. I think, you know, you keep hearing all these things with ISIS, and they're like, oh, well, you know, if your 7-year-old goes around in a tank top, she's just saying, look at me, I'm sexy, you know? Uh-huh. And in reality, you're like, oh, wait a minute, no, maybe the problem is you.
Yeah.
You should
maybe
be.
The problem is not how the girl dresses, but that you're a rapist. Maybe that's the problem.
Nobody's accountable for that. It's all... So they're saying all over Europe, well, were you going around with your shoulders exposed?
Yeah.
It sounds like, you know,
could people see your ankles?
We had such the idea of the, like, you know, protecting women and in college and people were like, well, she dressed slutty and, you know, so that means that, you know,
right.
It was okay. And now we're like, oh, you wore a short sleeve shirt. That means it's okay. Or, oh, you wore a long sleeve shirt, but your head wasn't covered. So, obviously, that was the green light.
Well, you know, there's that line that keeps getting pushed back. Now they have to start covering up their eyes, too.
Yeah.
The burqa isn't enough. They have to have sunglasses underneath the burqa.
I don't know. It's funny how societal shift, you know. Yeah. The standards change so much from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And we all just, you know, it's just disturbing to me. You know, the culture shifts and... Somehow what was acceptable and completely normal, you know, a while ago is now, oh mm-hmm. my gosh, you know, that's an outrage. And I know those are the extremes, but it's funny because in Europe, that's what they seem to be doing. Oh,
right.
You need to cover yourself up because, you know, you're taunting them.
Right.
And
right.
That's just insane.
Because obviously a man can't control himself, right?
Has no control. I don't know. I guess this was big in my head. I just saw an article the other day where a mom, you know, one of these... priests or whatever they call themselves.
Yeah, from clerics from, and their moms. Yeah,
exactly. So he's like, well, you know, a 5 to 7-year-old girl can be sexy to a man, even their own fathers, and it's their responsibility to be covered up. And I'm like,
what?
How does this
that's somebody
acceptable?
Yeah. Like, see, that's somebody that needs to be put down, in my opinion.
You know? I'm like, this guy's a, you know, sick animal, and somehow, oh, but if you speak bad about their religion... But
right,
no,
you're, then you're
sick.
An asshole, right.
You know, I don't get it. That's mm-hmm. sick, mm-hmm. you know? And people who, you know, and to put it on the victim, oh, well, you know, you should have...
Right.
You know, men can't be helped to control themselves. Mm-hmm. And how we've somehow decided in society this is somehow acceptable, that we can even hint at the idea.
Right.
You know, that, oh, you know, the person shouldn't address that way. You're mm-hmm. provoking them. I mean, that's, how are people not accountable for themselves?
It's insane. Men need to be responsible for the people around them. You know, just that's just the idea of being a man. Protecting the people around you that are more vulnerable and less able to defend themselves. Not the other way around. You shouldn't be, just because you're stronger doesn't mean you ought to be the predator. You ought to be the, you know, the one watching out for everybody. But, you know, Muhammad had a 7-year-old wife. I mean, he was a good guy, though, Muhammad, because he waited until she was 9 before they consummated the marriage.
You know,
so. I mean,
she was sexy at 5 to 7.
Right, but he had a little bit of history.
Maybe that's why they were like, you're going to be the leader.
You're the boss. You,
I see self-control. Mm-hmm. So that only makes sense, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so back to outdoor cooking, though. If you want to leave us a review, tell us some stories about some disasters or amazing recipes that you had. Leave us a review, and you can check us out on PreppingBadass.com, and we'll see you next week.
All right, see you next week.
You want to succeed, you want to fish, you want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents, anywhere, anytime, and on any device. You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.